Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Russia is actively 24/7 interfering in our election. They did so in 2016, and they are doing so now. For more, the American people, I believe, think they should decide who the president of the United States is, not Vladimir Putin making that decision for us.
Oh my gosh, it's just, I'm sorry that I did that to you folks. You know, is there any evidence whatsoever that the American people didn't actually decide who the president of the United States is? And yes, it happens to still be Donald Trump. I know, because I saw him in the Hall of Presidents at Disney World when I went there. I've got that video and I've been waiting to show it to you, and I'm so excited because he was there and he talked. And George Washington handed it off to him from the beginning to the end. And I'm like, it's official. He's still your president. We've got Jim Carafano on with us, and he joins us every Tuesday here. He is a leading expert in national security and foreign policy challenges at the Heritage Foundation. And Jim, you know, when I remember the Russia meddling, the result of an investigation that showed that they did try to meddle, it had no actual impact. It was proven to not change a single vote over what they tried to do on Facebook. But I remember them saying that the purpose is not so much to pick a candidate, but it's more to sow a distrust in the American people in their own way of democracy or of electing their officials. It's to make us kind of fight within ourselves. And boy, if that's the goal, then they're winning in spades right now.
You know, this just shows you how smart Annie Fry is. I mean,
yes.
So yesterday, for Fox News, I actually wrote a piece that addresses exactly this issue. So if you go to Fox News Opinion, it's right there. And it just tracks with everything you've just said. First of all, Pelosi's comments reflect really the worst of what we've seen, which is people raise a national security issue, and the response is, how can I spin this for my politics?
Right.
You know, we used to say politics ends at the water's edge. I mean, the politics in D.C. are rising faster than the oceans. This is ridiculous that literally everyone took the information that came out from the recent report that came out of the DNI's office about foreign meddling and spun it for politics rather than looking at the real issue. That is unconscionable. It's almost bordering on evil. Mm-hmm. But to your point, there's really two components to it. One is trying to switch votes. And as you pointed out, there's no evidence that any vote was physically changed by a foreign power in 2016. We actually did a much better job at securing our elections in 2018. And the entire federal government and many state and local officials are working hard on this issue. So that's not really a credible threat that we can see right now. And of course, the other threat is trying to influence. And to your point is, we are so obsessed about politics and what we think and who we hate. Does anybody really believe that anybody is going to change your vote because the Russians or the Chinese or the Iranians favor a candidate? I mean, is anybody that ridiculously naive? Do they have much contempt for the American voter?
Yeah. It's silly to think. I mean, most of it was through Facebook, too, right? Wasn't the majority of what Russia was actually found guilty of in 2016 kind of cheesy Facebook ads?
Well, yeah, and to this point, you know, we have all sides of how people want to debate about big tech and what they do and who they like and who they don't like and everything else. But it is fair to say that the big tech companies have put a lot of effort and resources into trying to either diminish foreign influence, you know, taking these trolls, these fake accounts and stuff, or in the case of like Twitter, where they're going in and they're going to Chinese website news sites and they're saying, this is a state-sponsored media outlet, so making it more transparent. So they've actually been contributing to that. And, you know, nobody's actually produced any evidence, any real evidence, that this has actually swayed American voters. Now, I'm not saying this isn't a bad thing, right? Foreign governments trying to meddle with us, you know, that's bad. But we have tools for that. We can sanction people. We can do legal action against them if they create illegal things. And we can have the intelligence community and covert guys go after them. And you know what? Federal government's kind of already doing all that stuff.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano, who is the leading expert in national security and foreign policy challenges at the Heritage Foundation. Just a reminder that we are monitoring that potential vice presidential nomination choice from Joe Biden. It could come anytime, and we will take it live when it does happen. But we are very grateful to have Jim on here with us right now. I want to ask you about the history behind election meddling. I think it's probably naive to think that 2016 was the first time Russia was like, oh, what's the United States doing over there? I should get involved in that, or any other country for that matter. Is election right. meddling something that goes on, and does it go on between other countries, maybe not even Russia and the United States specifically?
Well, you know, you bring up a really good point, because the pundits and the mass, they want to create that, like, this is all because of certain candidates. Because certain candidates out there, foreign governments doing this. This kind of, these candidates that don't really love, they like magnets for this. So it's really their fault. It's their lying. It really is foreign governments have been trying to meddle American elections pretty much ever since we've had elections. If you go back to the founding of the Republic, the British had their candidates that they favored. The French had their candidates that they favored. Before Pearl Harbor, one of the largest and most active intelligence operation in the United States was run by our British friends. And it was all about making America kind of pro-British and anti-Nazi. Not only did the Roosevelt administration know that that was happening, on occasions they actually used some of the British propaganda and influence documents, because it just kind of said what they wanted to say. So one, it's not new, and two, we don't always look at it negatively. And I got to tell you, you know, going back to the point about dealing with this foreign meddling, here's the thing that nobody talks about. Certainly not our friend in the House. The Obama administration did nothing about foreign meddling for 8 years. This administration, the intelligence community, Department of Homeland Security, working with state and local governments on election security, they've done the opposite of that. They've done it compared to what the Obama guy's done, they've done an affinity to make our elections more secure and to deal with foreign meddling. So it's ironic that this is somehow being turned into a story to attack this administration when it was the previous administration that didn't take the threat seriously.
Well, let me ask you this, because we've heard, you know, there's chatter out there that China favors Biden and Trump favors and Russia favors Trump. I would look at the merits of what this administration has done to Russia, and I wouldn't say that Donald Trump, especially comparatively speaking to the Obama administration, that the current administration has been soft at all on Russia. It seems to me that it's mostly what's being said, and without any digging, I guess people just take that at face value, but that's kind of lazy.
Well, first of all, if a foreign government really wanted to get a candidate elected, the last thing they would do is say, we like that candidate. right? Because knowing Americans do exactly the opposite. Oh, you like this guy? Well, I'm not going to vote for him. So that's like kind of a crazy. And I think mostly when you look at today, of course, it's different in different elections and different history. But what, you know, certainly the Russians are only interested in messing with our system. They don't really favor a candidate. They just want to mess with us. I think the Chinese are really interested more in meddling than affecting the outcome, because the reality of geopolitics is, you know, geopolitics don't change. Nobody's going to elect a candidate that all of a sudden is going to give Russia everything it wants or give China everything it wants. And if they're naive enough to believe that, then the people running those countries are stupid. Now, I would bet my entire paycheck that the Iranians would really rather see Trump lose, because they want to go back to the Iran deal, which was great for them and terrible for the rest of the world. So they have a stake in this fight, and this is one where the two parties are on exactly on opposite sides. This administration wants to continue to pressure and isolate Iran. The other administration wants to go back to the policy we had under the Obama years. So if somebody said, well, the Iranians are rooting for the other guy, I would, if I were an Iranian mullah, I would too.
Yeah, that does make sense. We're speaking with Jim Carafano with Heritage Foundation, and we are awaiting a potential vice presidential pick for the Joe Biden ticket. And we will carry that live when it happens. I'm curious, with all of this knowledge that you have on what has been done in the past, what our administrations have done, historically speaking, in this country, do you have advice, or is there some direction to point us in how to combat the potential for election meddling or the distrust that is actively and successfully being sown into American voters as to whether or not they can even trust the outcome? I mean, that's a topic of conversation. I hear it every day.
Well, you know, I don't think we give the mainstream of American voters and the mainstream American enough credit to think for themselves and look at things and make responsible decisions. And my big thing is transparency. The more you understand the source of what things are the more you just make a decision for yourself. So I think the light of transparency is the most important thing you do. So, for example, really applaud Twitter for labeling Chinese media outlets as state-sponsored media. So people would know that. Otherwise, they might just look at that thing and they go, I don't know what this is. It seems like, you know. And so I think that's important, helpful. But the answer is, look, democracy works because people think for themselves. And so when you ask me, what do we need to do here to make sure our system is resilient against outside influence? My answer is, hey, dude, think for yourself.
The answer is always back in the American people's hands. And that is an encouraging thing to hear. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this. We're going to post that article that you put up on Fox News. We're going to share that with this interview and make sure people get to read it, because it's great stuff. Thanks, Jim. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I just put a tag on there that says, almost as smart as Amy Fry.
Yeah, that's not happening. Katie, don't you dare. Thank you so much, Jim. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. At JJ Carafano on Twitter, heritage.org, for if you want more about what he's doing on the regular. But he's an opinion writer for Fox News, and that's pretty cool. Big news right now out of the Big Ten. The Big Ten Conference announces it will not play football this fall because of coronavirus concerns. This is going to definitely be a domino-like effect. This is from Fox News. It says, the NCAA's Big Ten Conference announced the postponement of all fall semester sports, including college football, on Tuesday, citing concerns related to the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, the mental and physical health and welfare of our student-athletes has been at the center of every decision we've made regarding the ability to proceed forward, said the Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. Quote, as time progressed and after hours of discussion with our Big Ten Task Force for Emerging Infectious Diseases and the Big Ten Sports Medicine Committee, it became abundantly clear that there was too much uncertainty regarding potential medical risks to allow our student athletes to compete this fall. So this is brand new information. The Big Ten Conference postpones football season, all other fall sports as well, due to coronavirus. We're going to take a quick break. We are monitoring the news as it is happening. We have been told that the VP candidate has been selected, but it has not been revealed. And Katie and I have a hunch that Dave Glover has asked them to hold off until 3 to make it so that it can be done in his show. But regardless, you will need to stay and listen to our show to see if it happens first. And then you will have to stay tuned to Dave's show because they will certainly be covering it there as well. So we'll see who the pick is. We've got a bunch of people watching online right now. When that announcement goes live, we are going to continue the chat on the side. I'd love to hear who you think it's going to be, who you think it should be. Is there anybody that scares you? Is there any pick out there that would you'd go, oh my gosh, you'd put your hands on your head and say, this is a game changer? You can comment on our Facebook Live, our Annie Fry YouTube Live, or the at Annie Fry Show Twitter Live. We'll be back with live coverage of that VP announcement when it happens in just a minute. The last time we played this song on it, I played Trump over it, and it made Trump super likable. And I almost played Chuck Schumer over it, but then I thought that would make the song super unlikable.
Don't do that.
I didn't know how it would work out. So, Katie, when's the vice president announcement coming? You have all of the information there in front of you?
I hope soon. I hope it happens really, really soon. That would be so cool if it happened during the show.
You said you were watching Dana Perino, and they had Brett Baier on there, and they're just dancing. It's kind of fun to watch how they manage this, because they don't know. They've got someone yakking in their earpiece. And
the whole time.
Do this, don't do that.
Yes.
How do you feel about the Big Ten canceling fall sports?
You know, I what happens to the kids that are riding on a scholarship to play those sports?
It's a great question. There's no way that it can be held against them.
That's what I'm like. So what if they have a full ride and it's all depending on those sports? What happens to that kid? Do they just not, are they not able to go to school?
Did you go to sporting events when you were in college?
I did. Lots of basketball games, lots of football games.
And I think it's like that's important to understand because, you know, we joke about how Carlo just commented on our Facebook chat. Sports announcer Katie is my favorite version of Katie. Maybe we should see what we should cover a game sometime, you and me.
Oh, man, that would be fun.
You do the play by play. I'll do the color.
Oh, great. Yeah.
To know how much of a sports fan you aren't, you're not mad at sports, but it's not your thing at all. Mm-hmm. But you still spent a lot of time in college attending because it was a social event. There's a lot of spirit that exists around those sporting events, and it's very social, of course, which is probably one of the problems. But it's a glue that holds a student body together, and you don't have to be on the field or like a part of the team in order to benefit from that. It's very far-reaching. So when colleges are doing a lot of remote learning, or if they're doing, I know I've seen a lot of pictures, a lot of kids that I see, and I'm like, how can you possibly be going to college already? It's kind of shocking how fast your friends' kids grow up, and now they're going to college. You're like, I thought you were just going into high school. But, you know, kids are going back to school without sports being played, and I'm sure that means a lot of other, you know, gathering kinds of things are going to, it's not going to put kids in a good spot, you know, like the pressure to perform at school without any type of social outlet.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
Gosh, that would be so difficult. That would be unbelievably difficult. And I don't know how these universities and these colleges are going to survive after this. I don't know, especially because we've said this before, but if you are going to be paying Harvard or paying Yale or going to SLU and you're forking over all this money just to virtually learn, it really makes you take a step back and say, maybe I'm going to skip this year. Maybe I'll just wait till next year and then I'll enroll and hopefully get in.
We're waiting on the potential Joe Biden VP announcement that could be coming anytime now. If it doesn't happen now, it is likely to happen during the Dave Glover show. So we want to invite you to make sure that you stick around for that right after our show gets done here to make sure that you get to hear it live when it happens. You know, speaking of closing down sports and other normal things, here's Burgess Owens, who is usually full of common sense.
But the left is so concerned about keeping chaos in the picture, and they don't mind really who suffers in the process. And these young men, unfortunately, and the coaches will suffer if they decide from high above that it's now time to end the season without any idea of how they should be really running this thing and moving forward with it.
So Burgess Owens, you know, bringing it down to a conversation that many people are having in my social media feeds, probably in yours as well, and on our Facebook page, just about, you know, what we are permitted to do and what we're not permitted to do And, you know, the way Burgess says this here is that the left loves chaos. I go back and forth between rationally wondering, you know, I don't feel like there's some big puppet master in the back that's calling all the shots and canceling things. But I do think that as we shut certain things down politically, of course there are people seeing the political benefit for them, and they're potentially going to do more of it. And when you keep, like, the keeping people out of church thing, but you can go to Walmart. Did you see that church that went to Walmart?
I did.
The congregation yep. that mm-hmm. went in. It's like, there you go. That's yep. what you're doing. And then you got Donald Trump at the podium at that event this past weekend. I think it was Friday. And one of the press, one of the reporters there asked something about how some of the folks weren't wearing masks. And he's like, oh, well, it's a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. That's funny. It's in jest. But most things that are funny because they're true. There's some element of truth to it. We can see the inconsistency of what is being asked of us. And if you're a rule follower like I am, and you know, you want to be a good sport about it, I don't mind wearing my mask in public. I know some of you will not wear a mask in public. And, you know, that's your right to do that. And I think that there are going to be times where that's going to be met with some cheers, and sometimes where that's going to be met with some hostility. But you know that when you make that choice. I just want to go get the bunch of bananas and the bread at Walmart. So I'm going in with my mask and I'm getting out. I want to be out as fast as I can. I just think that the American people from the start of the Surgeon General saying, you don't need to wear masks. Well, it turns out that they didn't want us to take the masks away from hospital workers. Tell us that.
Yeah.
Let us know that. Make it so that they're not available for other people until all the people who are in the hospitals. Remember when this first started, we were told the hospitals were going to be overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that we needed to slow the spread. If I think back to my Mike Pence binder that said 15 days to slow the spread, and then one day it said 30 days to slow the spread. And I thought, huh? Look at that. You just changed. He would hold that binder at the press conference, and the binder, that was absolutely purposeful so that you could see on the binder it said 15 days to slow the spread. And then one day it changed to 30. And I thought, okay, maybe this is what we have to do. It was scary. And we reacted. I said many times on the show, isn't it amazing that in the United States of America, they ask us to do this and we're like, yes, we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then other places, they weren't asking. There's a handshake agreement there where the government is asking us to do something and we are agreeing to do that. It's way different than mandates and laws and, you know, Pritzker fines if you're not going to abide by all of the laws and legislations that he just manifests from his hands, somewhat, in my opinion, unlawfully. We have gone from hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. We are completely unprepared, and we could argue for days about whose fault it is that we're unprepared without ventilators. We don't have the PPE to make this happen. And I think that for a while in certain places that was questionable if we had the proper PPE. I remember hearing stories of people who were not adequately being protected, and that was unfortunate. That's a reality. That actually happened. But the idea of slowing the spread was to make sure that we had adequate space in our hospitals. And we do. And we did.
We did it.
That in and of itself should be celebrated. In the middle of war, there are things that are celebrated. War is probably the worst thing that can happen on planet Earth. Probably, I would hope that we could all agree upon. That war is the most destructive and sad and awful thing that can happen. Death and destruction, you know, man versus man, and I mean that in the greater sense. But when you consider going through war and battle, you fight battle to battle to battle, you have to celebrate the victories that you have, because if you don't celebrate the victories and you don't encourage the people who fought to win those little victories, you're never going to have a victory in the end that you're going to be able to celebrate on the whole. And we have so much to be grateful for as a country and so much to celebrate as a country and what we were able to do to manage this virus. And we're not done yet. This isn't over yet. I'm not saying it's over. But the fact that we didn't have, you know, when you looked at what Italy was going through, yikes. And all we hear, again, going back to the thing about the president being, you know, the deal maker, I do fully believe that this president came into office willing to make deals that no other career Republican presidents would have been able to make. I think that his ego did not rest in his political career. It would have rested in how he graded himself on being able to get jobs done that other people couldn't. But when you watch the way this president walked us through this, I think he did it calmly, immediately from the get-go. In the middle of, I think it was February, gosh, the date sticking out in my head, I could be wrong, slam me on it if I'm wrong, was February 21st, where Nancy Pelosi was telling people to come out into Chinatown.
Yes.
And was saying, if you don't, then you're feeding into this sort, like, you need to come here. And she was saying it in an attacking kind of racial connotation, like, you need to come down to Chinatown and support these people. Don't be afraid to do it. This was after the president had banned travel from China. And he was telling people, look, I reacted. I saw what was going on. The WHO said in the middle of January, the WHO tweeted, the tweet's still out there, folks. We don't think coronavirus has spread human to human. I've been leaving my mail sit out on my deep freeze for a week to make sure I don't touch it. Because this coronavirus was supposed to be so contagious mm-hmm. and spread from human to human. In the middle of January, the WHO came out and said, we don't think this is spread human to human. China was not honest with the information they had. They purposely withheld information from the world to cover their tails. And the WHO is saying in the middle of January that this probably isn't, we don't have anything to indicate that this is spread human to human. At the end of January, Donald Trump bans travel from China. What if he wouldn't have done that? But instead of supporting Donald Trump's decision to do that, the left, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, says that Donald Trump is racist for stopping the Chinese people from coming here. They accused him of racism because of that. And then they said that the president is doing nothing to combat coronavirus. And then they tried to lie to the American people somewhat successfully because they have so many cameras that are willing to point at them and let them say whatever they want to say because of the mainstream media. They said this president is paying no attention to it. He banned travel from China, where this virus did originate from, stopped people from coming here. In the midst of the WHO still saying it wasn't spread human to human, and he definitely saved lives by doing that. Should he have done more? Maybe, but with what information, folks? And in the midst of the president banning travel from China, the Democrats attacking him again for being racist, which was completely unfounded, the Democrats say he's not doing anything, and Donald Trump goes to a rally and says, it's another hoax. The Democrats are saying I'm not doing anything about coronavirus. Of course I'm doing things. I banned travel. They call me racist for that. It's just another hoax. He never, ever, 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 ever called coronavirus a hoax. And he was acting on the coronavirus when the Democrats were using cheap political shots against him. If they would have been as effective as the Democrats would have liked, would have cost lives. If President Trump would have not banned the travel from China, it would have cost lives. He made a decision. He went with it, even though it obviously was going to lead to more Democrats attacking him in that way. And the idea that this was somehow or another not addressed by the president. No Democrats were being aggressive on this any sooner than the president. And when the president acted on it ahead of time, they accused him of being racist. Oh, and they were impeaching him at that point in time. It's very simple to look at where we are right now, what we were told could happen, what we were asked to do, and say, if we're in the sixth inning of this thing, we're probably up 4-2. The game's not over. We still need the closer to come in, whether it's a vaccine or some other sort of treatment for this virus, whether it's mask wearing or whether it's not mask wearing, whatever it is, when this closer gets in here, we have positioned ourselves in a place where we can have a victory and we need to close. So don't quit now, but celebrate the fact that we are ahead. But of course, you're never going to get that from the left, because that would give Trump a win. And any win for Trump is a loss for Democrats. Who cares about America? Who cares about you in the midst of all of this? They just care about their political games. And that happens on both sides of the aisle, folks. It definitely does. Quick break. When we come back, we are awaiting Joe Biden's VP announcement. We're told that it's imminent. If it happens during our show, we will 100% carry it live for you. The Dave Glover Show is going to be on it as well. So you are going to want to stay glued to 97.1 for the rest of your life. Does that work?
Forever.
Forever. If you know what I mean. We'll be back with Tony Colombo in studio in just a minute.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for joining us today. Very grateful that you chose us on this afternoon. Apparently, Joe Biden is going to be picking a vice president pretty soon. It's not our way of trying to keep you on the hook for listening all day, but if it works, I'm okay with it. We are waiting. I am tap dancing, and now pretty soon I'm going to hand it over to the Glover Show, and they can tap dance as well. Tony Colombo in studio with us now. Tony, you guys will take that live, right?
Oh, no doubt about it.
So we're going to do a little signs of the apocalypse here. Joe Biden having the opportunity to pick a vice presidential candidate might have felt like a sign of the apocalypse earlier, but it's not. So we're going to do this.
Hey, Annie.
Yeah?
Who's your final prediction?
Oh, I'm saying Kamala Harris because she's my worst nightmare. It's more about like this would happen to me, which, as I said before, like how egotistical and like centric is it for me to be like, well, this is what would be worse for me. So this is obviously what the universe is going to do. So I'm surprised.
I think it's a good pick.
I'm admitting that it's going to be Kamala Harris, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong. Mostly just because I don't want to cover Kamala Harris as the vice president candidate. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she takes so much baggage with her.
Yeah.
Like there's so much fighting that exists within the Democratic Party about Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to listen to that either.
Mm-hmm.
Drama.
It's gonna be interesting.
All the drama.
I'm sticking with Val Demings as my number one, and Susan Rice is my backup pick.
All right, Katie picked Susan Rice before. Mm-hmm. Before we get to Signs of the Apocalypse, too, yes. I was looking at the DNC convention speakers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I'm really stressed out about whether I'm professionally responsible for covering that, because I don't know that I can do it. I don't think I can do it sober. I'm going to need a sponsor.
It's a who's who.
Oh my gosh. I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that something you're going to watch? Can you watch that front to back?
No, I can't watch it like front to back every minute of it, but I will watch a
Some
lot of it.
It. Yeah.
I will watch
mm-hmm.
a lot of it. I thought it was funny today. It could be a sign of the apocalypse. Andrew Yang tweeting that he thought he was going to get to speak. Like his tweet said, I got to be honest, I kind of thought I was going to get to speak.
And he's not on the list.
Because you did what?
And he's not on the list. Yeah.
Senator Sanders, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, Andrew Cuomo, Gretchen Whitmer, Jim Clyburn, Benny Thompson, Gwen Moore, Doug Jones, Amy Klobuchar, Michelle Obama, Sally Yates.
Mm.
Senator Schumer, that'll be so boring. John Kerry, AOC, Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester, Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. and Dr. Jill Biden. And there's one name I left off here, and it's going to be the absolute worst one of all.
The Republican?
And that is John Kasich. That will require its own bottle of booze.
Yeah, and
for
AOC.
Me.
I think AOC and Kasich are the most
interesting.
Yeah, but
is AOC as opportunistic? I hate opportunism. And John Kasich, my Lord in Fruit Ninja Hands Heaven. Yeah. I cannot handle it. I hope he does the hands.
I'm with you on Kasich. But with AOC, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that she said that her and Joe Biden don't even belong in the same party. And now she's going to speak mm-hmm. and endorse him at the DNC. I find that interesting.
Maybe Katie and I need to drink another bottle of wine that night. Mm-hmm. Or nights.
Sounds great.
Or three. All right, let's do it. Signs of the Apocalypse.
Signs of the Apocalypse. On the Annie Fry Show.
Real quick, Anthony says on Facebook, Joe's picked a couple of times for VP. He just keeps forgetting who it was.
That's too realistic.
To tie in politics and a current story with Signs of the Apocalypse, it could be a sign of the apocalypse for Ilhan Omar tonight, as she is in a very important primary, and it's supposedly neck and neck. So she may be, you know, she's
that would
one of the
really be
founding members of the squad.
Earth-shaking.
Yeah, it'd be a big deal if she loses that seat just 2 years after getting.
Well, maybe Cori Bush can take her spot on the squad.
Yeah, another thing. Yeah, good point. Another thing to keep an eye on tonight. Obviously not as big as the VP thing, but still I think very, very interesting. There's been a trend of people getting backyard chickens during the pandemic. And recently...
I'm not opposed to chickens.
And recently...
That I don't have to take care of.
Almost correspondingly, there has been a rise in salmonella cases across the country as well.
Wow. Chickens are gross.
I think people are... I think there's a lot of first-time farmers out there, and maybe they don't know what they're doing.
You're saying that there's something to this thing?
A lot of first-time farmers out there.
Maybe they don't know what they're doing.
I learned that that birds are extremely dirty on the show.
Yes.
I was doing it like, remember that?
Yes.
It was like 2 years ago
Jared
or something.
Jared told us. Jared, I think,
of course
right?
he did.
Yeah.
He had to tell us that.
Yeah, Jared's like a walking National Geographic, and he says things and names like the Latin names for these species. I'm like, you're full of crap. And then I'm Googling on the side. I'm like, dang it, he's right again.
Birds are dirty, and snakes can't swim.
Dirty bird.
That's a little callback.
Yeah.
That's a little callback joke.
Yep. Throwing it back.
That is not true.
That is not true.
That is not, in fact, true. Don't find out the way I did. Snake crawling.
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but why are we getting chickens? Because they're bored and they want it.
No.
That's why?
I think people, they want the eggs. And
it's the same reason people planted tomatoes this year for the first time to see if they could.
They're thinking, I don't have to go to the grocery store. There's less for me to buy. I can have eggs. I can eat. I don't have to go buy my food. Yeah.
No, I think it's I support. I would love to have a chicken coop, and my husband would as well.
I have friends that do. It's great. Every time I go to their house, I leave with a bunch of eggs. Yeah, it's awesome.
I've said to my husband, because he really wants it, and we want to build in the country someday. I'm like, I'm all for it, but I only want to eat the eggs. I'm like, I would much rather get grocery store eggs than have to take care of any. He's like, I'll take care of it, and I'm like, you do you, buddy.
There you go.
Scrambled eggs for everybody.
The pandemic has forced airlines to stop serving food as first-class perks on flights. So now, Texas-based GNS Foods of Arlington, a supplier to American Airlines, is trying to unload over 42 tons of airline nuts. They have over 87,000 pounds of mixed cashews, pistachios, pecans, and almonds, and they don't know if they'll ever be able to sell them to the airline again.
Dang it.
Mm-hmm.
Dang it. 87,000
pounds of mixed nuts.
When we went on our flight to our vacation to the place, they gave us like a Chex mix of sorts and water. That's all you can have. There's
no
soda. I got
one word. For my next Disney trip.
The place.
Confirmed.
Yes! Nice.
We'll talk about it.
Podcast later.
We'll talk
Pixie
about
Dust
it.
Pixie Dust Podcast. Make it happen.
In another
Send hate
forum.
Mail to Tony Colombo this time. He brought it up on me.
The Glendale Galleria Mall in California has been mostly shuttered by Governor Gavin Newsom following a spike in coronavirus cases earlier this month. However, certain department stores with exterior entrances and a few, quote, essential businesses inside the mall have been allowed to remain open, and the restaurants inside the mall have also been allowed to operate, but not for in-room dining, forcing operators to get creative. They can't have people eating in the food court, so what they've done is set up a food court-style dining area in the parking garage of the mall. And the pictures are sad if you're looking
at... It's gotta be sanitary.
If you're watching the live stream, here's some pictures...
So depressing.
...of the
I like that
court.
Warning cone.
Yeah, there's the food court in the garage. This could have been a, Annie, are you okay? Like, are you okay eating your lunch in a garage, parking garage food court?
No, but I am also okay eating inside of restaurants. So.
Yeah, I am not.
Really? Not yet.
A group of event
planners. Wait, you're not okay in a garage or inside restaurants?
No, I'm not okay eating in a garage.
Would you eat inside a restaurant right now?
Yeah, with the proper social distancing, I would. Absolutely. For me, it's way more about masks, hand washing, and social distancing. That's the most effective way to keep yourself
safe. And confidence when you walk in that they're on it and that they care about it.
Yeah. Yes. If I walk in and people are close together and the servers don't have masks or somebody's coughing, then I'm out of there. But if it's if people have masks on and everything's clean and social, everybody's keeping their distance, I'm totally fine in a restaurant.
Same.
A group of event planners and live event experts in LA are being criticized after they held a 90-person live event to discuss the loss of live events. Let that one sink in a little bit
when
as
will
we wrap
be
this up.
Now,
a group
soon.
Of event planners in LA are being criticized for having a 90-person live event to discuss the loss of live events.
Good to see that we're on top of everything. Mm-hmm. All right, Tony Colombo, we're going to put it in your hands
you
and,
bet.
Of course, Dave Glover's hands as we await the VP announcement. We can't wait to hear what they have to say and what the Dave Glover Show has in reaction to it. Thank you for everybody who's watched us on our Facebook Live and our Annie Fry YouTube Live. And if you go to the Facebook page right now, you can see a great opportunity to support Amy Ellick in the 111th District to unseat Monica Bristow. Just shared it to the Facebook page. Go give us a like there and share it with your friends. We'll see you tomorrow, but the Dave Glover Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.